Those were the birds. Some days are for the birds. On your radio, friend. It's 22 minutes after 10 o'clock. We think we may have him at long last. I know it's going to be worth the wait. Please welcome to your radio, friend, the candidate for the U.S. Senate for the Libertarian Party here in the great state of Wisconsin, Mr. Phil Anderson. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being had. There you are.
Here I am.
You have no idea what we just went through to get you
well,
on.
I can imagine that pretty frantic. Tech issues are huge. They're hard to overcome in the moment.
They are. It's very disconcerting with things like the nuclear codes and stuff when things go awry at the easiest things.
Exactly.
So where do you hail from, young man?
I grew up in Beloit. And as a matter of fact, I noticed when looking at the WGRN website this morning that your early morning guy, Mike Clemens,
yes,
is also from Beloit. As a matter of fact, I went to church with him and his younger brother, who is my age, and so we went to the same church, same high school, same classes, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where I'm from, but I've been in Madison now or around Madison for the last 28 years or so.
So you know Mike MC Hammer Clemens?
Well, I don't know him. He's a couple years older than I was, and you know, when you're growing up in high school, that those lines between classes are pretty, you know, ages is pretty, you know, they don't get crossed all that much. But his younger brother, John, yeah, I knew real well growing up.
Wow, it's a small state, isn't it?
It sure is.
Speaking of our great state, yesterday our governor stood before the assembled masses that were gathered to hear Donald J. Trump in West Bend and announced to the crowd that in November there are only two people that can be elected president, Hillary Clinton and Donald J. Trump.
Of course he said that.
Well,
he told them that at the convention in Cleveland, too, trying to help the Donald be on message and not allow for the possibility that somehow a libertarian candidate would be appealing to his constituency. But in fact, it is.
By extension, I guess one could say that there would be only two candidates that could be elected to the Senate, either Russ Feingold or Ron Johnson, not Phil Anderson.
Yeah, tragically false message. You know, we've been mentioned in the polls the last couple of months, the July and August Marquette Law School polls, and starting out at around 8%, which is fine. That's good for where we hope to be. But then the coverage of the polls, I mean, we've got some good coverage, but a lot of the mainstream media still characterizes it as Johnson versus Feingold, and they don't even quote the right poll numbers when referring to the election sometimes as well. So a little bit of sloppy media coverage, but that's to be expected. People are still sort of overcoming the two-party paradigm, and that's really our biggest haul for our campaign is just being noticed, you know. It's not a question of policies or positions or whatever, because people generally agree with where we stand, as you know. But just being noticed, being available, people are being aware of the campaign. That's the big issue.
This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversations. We're talking with the Libertarian candidate for the U.S. Senate here in Wisconsin, Phil Anderson. One of the things about selecting a candidate, normally when you're choosing between the Dems and the GOP, is that you've really got to find out a lot about where those particular candidates fall on issues. Not so much for libertarians. Libertarians pretty much across the board are consistent, aren't they?
Oh, they sure are, and I think that's the beauty of it, and then I think that's a big part of why I became a libertarian, and that is that it's truth-telling, and it's eternal, and it's a political philosophy of, you know, minding your own business and letting other people mind theirs that translates across time and across issues, and it's pretty predictable. I found it telling, too, in the poll results that although Russ Feingold was a senator for 18 years and Ron Johnson's the current sitting senator, that there's still a sizable number of people that say they don't have enough information about the candidates to have an opinion. And you would think by now, if they were doing their jobs or if they had a coherent political philosophy, that wouldn't be the case, but clearly it is.
You used the word eternal. What did you mean by eternal?
Well, there are, part of our philosophy goes back to at least as far as John Locke. And so through that, you know, 400 plus years since he wrote his treatises on government, you know, the ideas of the non-aggression principle and that rights reside with the individual and that they're delegated to the government, you know, only by individuals by their consent. That is something that we apply to every issue that comes up currently, and for libertarians or classical liberals throughout the last 400 years, you know, you just take that idea that we have, that we believe to be, you know, the 100% truth, and just apply that. So, you know, and we expect to not change in that regard over the foreseeable future. There's really no need to.
He's Phil Anderson. He's running for the U.S. Senate here in Wisconsin for the Libertarian Party. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. Define for the beautiful humans, Phil, if you would, the general philosophy of the Libertarian Party and how is in direct conflict and opposition to the Democrats and Republicans.
Well, the basic principle is called the non-aggression principle, and that's it's actually a fancy term for, you know, how we were all raised to be responsible human beings. You know, clean up after yourself, mind your own business, help your neighbor, share, be responsible, don't be involved in other people's business. And the NAP, as we call it, is basically simply stated, we should be allowed to live our lives as we choose. We are allowed by right to live our lives as we choose, as long as we don't interfere with the rights of others to do the same. Gary Johnson obviously uses that same principle when he talks about defining libertarianism. And as it relates to to Republicans and Democrats, they clearly have no problem, even historically, before the current sort of two-party mess that we have in Washington, even historically, they each had no problem interfering with people's lives in one way or another, whether it was redistributing income or telling you how to live your life, who you should marry, what you should smoke, what you should eat or drink, you know, those sorts of things. They don't have a problem. They don't have a coherent political philosophy that would not allow them to do that. They just pick and choose issues and try to get votes and manipulate the public in that way. So and now it's even worse because, generally speaking, you know, painting with a broad brush, Republicans and Democrats, at least in the federal government, you know, even more uniformly and more completely have no problem interfering with the lives of citizens, with, you know, spying on us and, you know, telling us that we can't bear arms and you know, borrowing money on our behalf and sending us to war and all these different things that are clearly violations of our right to live our lives as we choose.
He's Phil Anderson. He's running for the Senate here in Wisconsin for the Libertarian Party. So what would be the top three planks of the Phil Anderson Libertarian platform?
Well, the first one is ending or trying to end our overseas interference. You know, we've been meddling throughout the world, but in particular in the Middle East, for over 100 years. You know, the partition of Palestine after World War I that eventually led to the creation of the State of Israel and redrawing lines in the Middle East and toppling governments and regime change and manipulating currencies and all these things, there especially, but all over the world, needs to stop because, number one, it's immoral and it works against free trade as well. But third, and I think at least at this point, most importantly, is that it turns the citizens of the world against us. It radicalizes people into being terrorists, and it radicalizes governments into being against us as well. And it's very easy for governments around the world to say, you know, to tell their people that they should be against us because, you know, every day we're doing things like, you know, bombing a hospital in Afghanistan that's run by Doctors Without Borders or you know, drone striking a wedding party or...
Yeah, but we didn't mean...
All those sorts of things.
But we don't mean to do that, Phil.
Well, yeah, we should be responsible. And then we've got the nerve to say, you know, our leaders have the nerve to say that they hate us for our freedom. Well, they hate us for our hypocrisy and our meddling in their affairs and our killing of their people and then terming it, what's the term for it? Collateral damage.
Well, I think they hate us because they hate themselves. Psychologists call self-loathing.
Uh-huh.
And they are projecting their own self-hatred. I think that gets down to a deeper root. But then what happens, we reinforce that hatred with, as you say, collateral damage.
Yeah, and we do things that, you know, aren't necessarily military involvements, like, you know, manipulating currencies and embargoes and trade agreements that disadvantage these countries. And you know, what happens is the people end up starving and being, you know, out of work and then civil strife, and then, you know, then we have refugee situations. It all starts with our immense power and influence in the world and the misuse of it for the purposes well, for not defense, that's for sure, and not a constitutionally declared war by Congress.
All right, well, in our last 2 minutes, I got two more planks for the Phil Anderson for Senate in Wisconsin campaign.
All right, I'll make it quick. And this is sort of one plank, but there's two bills that were introduced last fall by a group called Downsize DC. One is called the Read the Bills Act, which would require that every bill be read either in person or out loud to every representative that votes on it, as well as being posted online.
Wait. You're suggesting that our representatives in Washington should actually read the bills they're going to pass?
Well, not only that, but they should be posted online so that people, interest groups, the industries that are being affected can weigh in as well and contact the representative. That's the essential mechanism of representative government, is that we tell them, we inform them how we feel about the legislation that's before them, and that obviously doesn't happen. And the other part of it is the One Subject at a Time Act, where we wouldn't have these monstrous bills like the omnibus bill that got passed right before Christmas this last year that had all kinds of things in it that, well, and Ron Johnson voted yes on it, despite the fact that it funded Planned Parenthood for another year, it adds $1.5 trillion to the debt, it continues NSA spying, et cetera, but, you know, he escapes, or at least, you know, could escape responsibility for that vote because it's all just one big jumbled mess of different issues. So those two things, I think, would lead to a lot of different reforms and a much better government, much more effective representation, more transparent representation in Congress for both the House and the Senate.
Well, one thing's for sure, ladies and gentlemen, is that when considering who you're going to vote for Congress or Senate or for the presidency, consider this. Doing the same thing and expecting different results is insanity.
It sure is. And sort of falling into that, the right versus left, Republican versus Democrat game, that's no longer what's going on. They are one group of people that seek to dominate our economy and our society for their own purposes. And generally, people that go there who are Democrats and Republicans get sucked into that over time because they have to. Otherwise, they don't get reelected. So that's the game that's going on. And Libertarians stand in opposition to that. We're a completely different thing than those big parties.
He is the Libertarian candidate for Senate here in the great state of Wisconsin, Phil Anderson. What is your website, sir?
It's the number 4, philanderson.org. And so that's got all the information you need, my calendar, how to donate, how to be involved, et cetera, and my positions on issues. I'm also very active on social media at Anderson for U.S. Senate. That's the Facebook tag, and at For Phil Anderson on Twitter. We reach out in a multitude of different ways, and actually your listeners will, and probably already have, started seeing yard signs and things like that up around the Racine area as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your flexibility and for being a good sport this morning, and we'll do it again sometime soon.
Sounds good, Glenn. Thanks.
There he goes, Phil Anderson, the Libertarian candidate for the United States Senate here in the great state of Wisconsin. It's 25 minutes until 11 o'clock on your hump day morning. The great Tom Carco is awaiting us in the News Center to bring you this hour's WRJN News Block. It's all next.
Nelson's has everything for back to school, including official middle school gym uniforms. Nelson's is your